Chapter 63. To which Mr. Chuckster replied, with an elevation of speech becoming a glorious Apollo, that he was everlastingly blessed if he did. All I know, my dear feller, apostrophe said Mr. Chuckster, running his fingers through his hair, is, that he is the cause of my having stood here 20 minutes, for which I hate him with a mortal and undying hatred, and would pursue him to the confines of eternity, if I could afford the time. Apostrophe, while they were thus discoursing, the subject of their conversation, who had not appeared to recognize Mr. Richard Swiveller, re-entered the house, and Kit came down the steps and joined them, to whom Mr. Swiveller again propounded his inquiry with no better success. He is a very nice gentleman, sir, apostrophe said Kit, and that's all I know about him. Apostrophe, Mr. Chuckster waxed wroth at this answer, and without applying the remark to any particular case, mentioned, as a general truth, that it was expedient to break the heads of snobs, and to tweak their noses. Without expressing his concurrence in this sentiment, Mr. Swiveller, after a few moments of abstraction, inquired which way Kit was driving, and, being informed, declared it was his way, and that he would trespass on him for a lift. Kit would gladly have declined the proffered honor, but as Mr. Swiveller was already established in the seat beside him, he had no means of doing so, otherwise than by a forcible ejectment, and therefore, drove briskly off, so briskly indeed, as to cut short the leave-taking between Mr. Chuckster and his grandmaster, and to occasion the former gentleman some inconvenience from having his corns squeezed by the impatient pony. As Whisker was tired of standing, and Mr. Swiveller was kind enough to stimulate him by shrill whistles and various sporting cries, they rattled off at too sharp a pace to admit of much conversation. Especially as the pony, incensed by Mr. Swiveller's admonitions, took a particular fancy for the lamp posts and cart wheels, and evinced a strong desire to run on the pavement and rasp himself against the brick walls. It was not, therefore, until they had arrived at the stable, and the chaise had been extricated from a very small doorway, into which the pony dragged it under the impression that he could take it along with him into his usual stall, that Mr. Swiveller found time to talk. It's hard work, apostrophe said Richard. What do you say to some beer? Apostrophe, Kit at first declined, but presently consented, and they adjourned to the neighboring bar together. We'll drink our friend what's his name, apostrophe said Dick, holding up the bright frothy pot, apostrophe that was talking to you this morning. You know I know him a good fellow, but eccentric very, here's what's his name. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Kit pledged him. He lives in my house, apostrophe said Dick, at least in the house occupied by the firm in which I'm a sort of a managing partner, a difficult fellow to get anything out of, but we like him, we like him. Apostrophe, I must be going, sir, if you please, apostrophe said Kit, moving away. Don't be in a hurry, Christopher, apostrophe replied his patron, we'll drink your mother. Apostrophe, thank you, sir. Apostrophe, an excellent woman, that mother of yours, Christopher, apostrophe said Mr. Swiveller, who ran to catch me when I fell, and kissed the place to make it well. My mother, a charming woman. He's a liberal sort of fellow. We must get him to do something for your mother. Does he know her, Christopher? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Kit shook his head, and glancing slyly at his questioner, thanked him, and made off before he could say another word. Humph. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Swiveller pondering, this is queer. Nothing but mysteries in connection with Brass's house. I'll keep my own counsel, however. Everybody and anybody has been in my confidence as yet, but now I think I'll set up in business for myself. Queer, very queer. Apostrophe, apostrophe, after pondering deeply, and with a face of exceeding wisdom for some time, Mr. Swiveller drank some more of the beer, and summoning a small boy who had been watching his proceedings, poured forth a few remaining drops as a libation on the gravel, and bade him carry the empty vessel to the bar with his compliments, and above all things, to lead a sober and temperate life, and abstain from all intoxicating and exciting liquors. Having given him this piece of moral advice for his trouble, which, as he wisely observed, was far better than halfpence, the perpetual Grand Master of the glorious Apollos thrust his hands into his pockets and sauntered away, still pondering as he went. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.